Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Hello, this is Kelly Woods, soul doula and founder of My Authentic Life. No matter what wrong turns you believe you've taken, the present moment offers a fresh start. Enjoy getting back on track with Aubrey Johnson and the Road to Rediscovery podcast.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. I'm happy to share and announce with you that the Road to Rediscovery Stand store is now officially open. That's right, inspired by the podcast and the insights from our many amazing guests, we have all sorts of resources targeting your personal growth, from free e-guides to ebooks to the full-blown Rediscovery Roadmap digital course. This is something you want to be a part of, trust me. So get on the road to overcoming adversities and realizing your true potential by visiting us at stan.store/road to rediscovery. That's stan.store/road2rediscovery. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. All right. My special guest empowers high-achieving professionals to heal from the inside out using strategic mindset techniques. From fitness trainer to mental health mentor, he has built and sold a thriving fitness business in Manhattan. Let's get ready for a great conversation, and let's welcome Mr. Michael Shaw. Michael, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. And, you know, it's my honor to be here on the Road to Rediscovery. I really appreciate this space, not just for the focus on overcoming adversity, but for encouraging reflection, growth, and the deeper meaning behind our struggle.
Well, I thank you for that, those thoughtful words, Michael. I mean, and I really mean that, okay? Because I think it's important for all of us as humans to have the space to where, you know, we can be humble enough to look inward at ourselves and not beat ourselves up, but hold ourselves accountable for things that we can improve on and look to each other for that support to lift each other up. And so, you know, to me, I'm just a pebble or a grain of sand on a whole beach of other people trying to do the same thing. But I'm just so happy that you're a part of this to share insights with our listeners. So I would love it if we can start off, Michael, by sharing with the listeners a glimpse into just some of the early part of your journey and just some of the challenges and struggles that may have been a springboard or a foundation to you realizing the wonderful work that you're doing today.
Absolutely. So once again, I'm Michael Shaw, and I'm a mindset coach, and I help people break through the mental patterns that keep them stuck. And like many of your guests, I'm sure, I had to walk through the fire to get where I am today. For years, I played the role of the overachiever, building businesses, competing in intense sports, chasing success like my worth depended on it. But underneath all that drive was trauma, anxiety, and a lingering sense that no matter what I accomplished, it was never enough. And, you know, my turning point didn't come during a victory. It came during a complete emotional collapse.
Wow.
The persona that I had built to survive could no longer carry the weight of the childhood trauma I had never fully faced. And that was the moment that everything changed. The real work began. I had to heal old wounds, had to rewrite my inner narrative, and I had to learn to lead from strength, not survival. And it was that journey that led me to create the Mastery Mindset Library, which is a framework that helps people rediscover who they are and live with peace, clarity, and purpose.
Amazing. Amazing. And you know, it's absolutely tremendous and fascinating how, what's the saying? It's on the tip of my tongue, but it's necessity is the
mother of invention.
Mother of invention. That's exactly right. Thank you, Michael. And you know, having the necessity by reaching a boiling point or a breaking point in your adult years of all that may have been suppressed in your earlier years growing up led you to the necessity to find some method to keep your mind right, to exercise and those things that made you feel like it wasn't enough, and you know, anxiety and all these different things. And so, Michael, did you feel at any point that there was a source? What was the source that made you feel that you had to achieve at such a high level or function at such a high level? I mean, was that what got it started all, or was it just the cause and effect of being a high achiever?
Well, so there's the source of being a high achiever. For many of us, yes, does come from a primal trauma. But I kind of have to go backwards and forwards to weave through this story to get to the real answer that you're looking for, I think. Yeah. So what I want to share with you, I'll pull the curtain back a little bit, is one of the most pivotal moments came in 2008 when I was blindsided by betrayal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It happens. My fiance committed adultery and left. And in a flash, I lost my home, my sense of family, my sense of self, and the stability I thought I had as a father.
Right.
I mean, I can actually remember as clear as day sitting in an empty room, asking myself, how do I rebuild a life that I didn't even see coming?
Like, wow.
I had to learn how to trust again, how to forgive without forgetting, and how to show up for my kids while I was still healing. You know, but that wasn't my first encounter with emotional upheaval. I grew up in a home marked with domestic violence. As a child, I took on the role of protector. What I now recognize as a hero complex. And, you know, when my father raged, I had to step in to save my mother. And that kind of wiring, which is what you're talking about, the source, that kind of wiring shaped everything. My relationships, my self-worth, and how I handled pain. And later in life, as a father myself, I faced a different challenge. Which was supporting my own child who was struggling with anxiety and depression. And this time, I wasn't the fixer. I was the witness. I couldn't solve it. And that as a parent, that's hard, but I couldn't solve it. I could only be present. And that experience taught me the deepest kind of compassion, to walk alongside someone without judgment and meet them where they are, not where I think they should be. So all of these experiences became the foundation of the work that I do now, helping people move through fear, anxiety, and self-sabotage with practical tools that actually transform how they see themselves and how they live. And it manifested recently in one of the most beautiful, meaningful steps of my life, where I became a living kidney donor to my daughter's grandfather. And that wasn't just a medical decision. It was a personal declaration that I now live in alignment with my values and not my wounds. And, you know, what this teaches us, Aubrey, is this road to rediscovery, rediscovery isn't a moment. It's a way of life. It's a journey back to your soul. It's the ongoing practice of returning to who we are beneath the pain. And that's why I'm grateful to be here, to share that journey and to honor what it means to come home to yourself.
I tell you, Michael, that is, and thank you for that clarification, because that really does break down the true essence of rediscovery, right? And everything you mentioned there, to me, it rang vibes of introspection.
Sure.
Right. And to me, that's where it all starts. And it sounds like, you know, there was a tremendous amount of that you had to do within yourself to help make that transition from being the fixer in the past, now as a parent, to being the witness.
Right.
So I must ask you, in that shift, I know it's a process, it takes time, and you know, you're going through it over and over and over again, and it's not something that I don't think someone would kind of successfully achieve the first time over, but what would you say as far as the impact in supporting someone by taking that witness stand versus the type of support that came naturally to your mind as a child in fixing or protecting your mother? Is one as impactful and important as the other? Or are they mutually exclusive? What are your thoughts on that?
It brings me back to the metaphor. You know, if I give a hungry man a fish, I feed him for the day. If I teach him to fish, I feed him for life.
Yeah.
So the fixer gives you the fish, right? Mm-hmm. So you're actually doing the person a disservice by fixing their problem for them. Because that takes away their value of self. It takes away their ability to take that journey for themselves and really rediscover who they are. So it's way more impactful to be present and let somebody know anytime you reach out, you could grab my hand. It's going to be there. And I'm going to walk alongside with you so you don't have to fear your journey. But I'm not going to take the journey for you.
Right.
And I'm not going to take it away from
you. Yeah. And that is doing a disservice for someone. I mean, to not come to that point of realization and rediscovery on their own. But to have someone who's thoughtful, who's compassionate, who's empathetic, to walk with them on that journey, as you do in your work, that is something that, you know, man, if everyone had that opportunity, you know, it would sure change the hearts and minds of a lot of people and get them out of, you know, the funk of depression or anxiety and these types of things. So I want to take a step back. Well, no, I want to take a step forward actually and talk about, as an example of some of the work you do, okay, in a scenario where people are dealing with a setback, a major setback that may have them question their adequacy as a person, okay? I mean, and we can frame this scenario anything, you know, as any type of scenario, but the end result is the impact of the scenario, it has a hit on that individual's self-esteem, confidence, and adequacy. There's doubt, they have self-doubt in their adequacy as a person. How do you get someone out of that mire of just despair and self doubt, and inadequacy, and what types of methods would you use to help bring them out of that? And I know it's a process; it's not anything that's like transitional overnight, flip of a switch. But can you give an example of some of the methods that one can do, or you would?
Sure. So first of all, what we have to remember is that when somebody finally asks for help, mm-hmm. okay, that is the bravest thing someone can do, which is juxtaposed with what they were actually feeling all this time, which is embarrassed and feeling weak because they had to ask for
yes.
help. It takes a ton of strength to say, hey, look, I'm here, I'm struggling, and I need some help. Mm-hmm. And to be that person that shows up for them is, I mean, it's everything. It moves me every single time, with every single person. But, you know, it always boils down to this. No matter what the problem, it boils down to this. We need to go all the way back. I call it your soul journey, okay? You know, we come into this world with a beautiful, 100% pure soul. Mm-hmm. All we know is love, right? We come into this world, all we know is love and that we're cared for. We cry, somebody feeds us. We cry, somebody changes our diaper. Every need is cared for.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, we experience some level of trauma that causes a psychic break. And that's when we go from our life being run by our soul to our life being run by our ego. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And our ego, while our soul is bathing us in light and love, our ego is enveloping us in darkness and in fear. Okay?
Yeah.
And what happens is through our ego, we start to create a belief system, our view of the world.
Yeah.
And that belief system at the time works because it's built to protect us from whatever that psychic break and that trauma was. Mm-hmm. Okay. And while that works for us, as we grow and we become adults, we hang on to that belief system and we're operating with that outdated belief system. And it keeps us sending the same energy out into the world, that energy built in darkness and in fear.
Right.
And the energy you send out, finish it for me, is the energy you get back. And that's why, myself included, until I took my journey, that's why so many of us are always asking ourselves, how in the hell do I keep ending up in the same place?
Right.
No matter what I do.
Right.
And that is the definition of being stuck. So the answer to the question is we have to break down that belief system one by one.
Yeah.
We have to look at your beliefs and we have to ask ourselves, does this belief serve my purpose now? And to answer that question, we have to decide, who are we now? Who are we and how do we want to show up in the world?
Yeah.
And we create what I call, and you can see I'm wearing right here, it says I
yeah.
am.
Yeah.
Okay. We create our I am declaration. Okay. A bunch of statements starting with I am that tells the world and tells ourselves, mm-hmm. this is who I am and these are my core values and I'm going to live in alignment with those core values. And when you can do that, every step, every move you make is made in confidence. Because you know you're living your purpose. So we cast out those beliefs that no longer work for us. We thank them with love because
love.
They protect
yes.
us. And they work for us, you know, at the
yeah.
time. But we have to cast them out of our boat because either they're helping us float or they're making us sink. And if they're making us sink, they got to
yep.
go. Okay? And at the end, we have our reawakening, our rebirth as our new healed self with our new belief system, our I am declaration, our core values. And now we show up in the world feeling confident, functioning with clarity, and coming from a place of love.
Wow. That just wraps it up in a nice bow, Michael. I mean, in the earlier stages, as you were saying, I was thinking, you know, self-preservation can serve us or it could be a disservice to us, depending on what we're doing to cope, right, in those former beliefs. And one thing that you said that kind of resonated with me here is when you have those I am declarations and you ask yourself if what I'm believing today is serving me or not, being completely transparent and open and honest with yourself in answering that question, then saying goodbye to those former beliefs with love, you said, because it did help us and serve us at some point or get us through from a coping mechanism standpoint sure. to where we are today. The potential that you can realize with these new set of beliefs and understanding how the universe works. Is that what you were mentioning before?
Absolutely.
Gotcha. So yeah. In that, okay, I feel that the universe, you can't fool the universe in my mind. Okay. I can say, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich. Or I can say, I'm a thoughtful person. I'm a thoughtful person. I love people, you know, and what you put out in the universe, you get back, but it's not what you put out and just saying, you're saying what you declare over time builds the true, genuine feeling in your heart that is released out into the universe, and the heart or the universe picks up what you feel in your heart about yourself, about those around you, about, you know, just the mindset and frame of mind that you have towards life in general. And that's the energy from your heart that you truly and genuinely feel that comes back to you. Is that
right? Well, remember, when you say universe, most people will instantly picture everything around us. But the universe is within each of us. Okay. So when you say you can't fool the universe, you can't fool yourself.
Right.
Okay. So it's you're putting the energy from the universe that's in you into the universe that's around you. So until you settle things with yourself, and you really discover who you are or rediscover who you are, your energy vibrations are not going to be where they need to be.
Gotcha. Do me a favor. Can you explain high achievers' depression trap? What is the depression trap?
Well,
for high achievers.
Well, the high achiever, depending on what their motivation is for their achieving, in a nutshell, it's if I don't keep going with increasing momentum from what got me here to what I've achieved, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Right? That's a frightening level of anxiety to be in. Mm-hmm. You know, or anxiety or depression. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want.
Right.
But you know, when your personal identification is what you've is your title, is what you've achieved, and you haven't determined and declared who you actually are, but you are your position at work, you are your money in the bank, you are the house you live in, you know, those are symbols of achievement, and you're afraid that you're going to lose them. And that can create this trap of depression and anxiety.
I see. And it's almost associating yourself with the amount of money in the bank or what you drive or the length of time you've put in or invested at a company or in your job or maybe even a business that you own.
Right.
I see. No, that makes a lot of sense. And so, what's some of the common schools of thought high achievers enter and meet you with that you've picked up on? Like, I would imagine that a lot of high achievers, especially if they're providers, right? They're a husband or they're a wife, they're a parent, they're a provider, and say they're the sole provider of their family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the livelihood of everyone under that roof depends on that person.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, there could be some pressure they could be putting on themselves for that, or just by virtue of that being the fact of them being a sole provider, that is, you know, what they're putting on themselves. Is there, and I'm asking this genuinely, but is there any type of realization or coming back to humility and knowing that, hey, I'm a provider, I'm a high achiever, but I can be vulnerable. And I you know what? I need help too at times. I can't be the one solving everything for everybody.
Where that shows up very often, especially when they're the sole provider,
yeah,
is that because the persona that they've put forward is this hero,
yeah,
hero complex, right? Hero, mm-hmm, hero persona.
Yep.
That is always the solver, always the fixer, always the provider, can be the punching bag for everyone. They deprive themselves of ever actually growing as the person, not just the achiever. Yeah. And they deprive usually their partner, their spouse, of having the accountability and the responsibility that should be shared with them. And there ends up being a lot of resentment on both sides, which is incredible, because the provider's sitting there saying, I've given you this house, these vacations, this life that you live, you're everything you could ever want, and you're still trampling all over me. You're still, I'm thinking of you first, us second, and me last, and you're thinking of you first, us second, and me last, and I'm always last, and that creates a lot of angst, a lot of pressure, resentment, anxiety, depression, and a lot of strain in relationships, because you haven't been able to grow together, you know, and you haven't been able to take a journey for yourself. You know, you haven't been able to take that soul journey for yourself. You know, the analogy I always make is when you're on an airplane, okay, and they give you the safety tips in the beginning, what do they always tell you? Your mask on first,
right?
So you can help everyone else.
Right.
So if you're always putting everyone else's mask on for them, before you put on yours, no one's ever tuning into you.
No.
You know, everybody loves Superman.
That's right.
Nobody ever asks shit about Clark Kent.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Never thought of that.
So,
yeah.
So it's your Clark Kent who is hurting inside while your Superman complex is running all over the place.
Trying to be the solution, the solver, the hero, as you say.
Right.
I see. Wow. This is an absolute insightful conversation, Michael. I have to say, I mean, for the listeners out there who are listening, hey, by the way, you know, these are nuggets of information that Michael is sharing from his own methods and how he coaches and helps people overcome anxiety, overcome stress, overcome those feelings of just being the one-all, end-all, be-all, where they don't think there's any place for help. There's help for everyone. So for people who are having problems with inadequacy, people out there having problems with anxiety, you don't feel like you're up to snuff, you're stressed out, you don't think you have a waking moment just to breathe, Okay, listen to this conversation, because Michael's sharing with us some very, very insightful anecdotes. So, Michael, I want to thank you for sharing these. So, is there anything different? I know you talked about the I Am declarations, okay, but is there anything different when it comes to mental toughness, okay, having the mental toughness to weather the storm, to, you know, you're in the midst of something that really is very unpleasant, okay? It can be anything. Yeah. It could be a divorce. It could be bankruptcy. It could be the lawyers are coming and police are coming to take all your possessions out of your house. I mean, whatever it is, right. It's catastrophic to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand there needs to be time to process, to go through this, but tell us where mental toughness lives in a situation like that. And how it serves or maybe not serve in overcoming mentally overcoming such a
set. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a principle, a process that is going to sound crazy at first,
yeah.
But when you adopt it, it gives you the ability to have that resilience.
Okay.
So, you know how most coaches and therapists give you strategies to help you with your problems,
yes.
Right? Any of those problems you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I've learned to look at it completely differently. And one of the biggest shifts that I've made and that I now help my clients make is rooted in this core belief.
Okay.
There are no problems. There's only perceptions. Now, that might sound bold, but just hear me out. This idea first hit me during that breakup in 2008. I was sitting in Washington Square Park in Manhattan, just outside NYU, and I was completely paralyzed by fear, anxiety, lost. And I remember watching thousands of people walk by, and they're laughing and they're living completely unaware of the emotional collapse that I was having inside. And, you know, it hit me. If I'm the only one feeling the weight of this problem,
yeah,
then it has to be something that I've created. It's not in a blame yourself kind of way, but
right.
In an empower yourself kind of way. That, like, that realization became the lens through which I began to see everything differently.
Perception.
What exactly?
Okay.
What we call a problem is often just a situation that's stretching us,
yeah.
Challenging our current thinking, testing our resources,
yes.
Or exposing the fact that we're not quite ready yet. But when we slap the word problem on it, we give it weight. We create emotional resistance. We trigger fear, paralysis, and avoidance. So I started reframing. And instead of calling something a problem, I ask, is it a challenge? Is it an invitation to grow?
Yeah.
Is it a mirror showing me something I haven't yet owned? And that simple shift changes everything. Problems feel heavy and overwhelming, like something happening to us.
Yeah.
But challenges are active. They're solvable. They invite engagement. And when you stop asking, why is this happening to me? And start asking, what is this trying to teach
yes.
me? Unlock a whole new level of clarity.
Yes.
And this mindset didn't come from a book. It came from the gym.
From the gym.
I spent years as a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned through training was that your muscles don't grow from ease or from rest. They grow from resistance.
Yes.
In fact, we used something called periodization, where we purposely increased resistance right after we hit a plateau.
Uh-huh.
Because that's when growth happens. And I started seeing life the same way. Financial stress, uh-huh. Relationship conflict, emotional burnout.
Uh-huh.
That's all resistance training for your mind and your spirit. And I asked myself, if I can embrace stress in the gym as a necessary part of growth, why wouldn't I embrace it in life the same way? So now when a client comes to me and says, I feel stuck, I don't just throw them strategies or mindset tips. We slow down and we unpack it. What's the specific challenge? What muscle mentally, emotionally, relationally needs to grow? What outdated belief pattern is this exposing? And we take what looks like a problem and we break it down into three things: a pattern, a perception, and a plan. And from there, everything starts to shift. Instead of I'm failing in my business, it becomes I'm being invited to grow. Maybe I need a new level of strategy, discipline, or courage. Instead of I'm lost in my relationship, it becomes this might be a moment of realignment. What's no longer serving me? That shift from victimhood to agency is where all that power is, where that toughness and resilience lies. So consider this reframing exercise. Think about the biggest problem in your life right now. When I put the air quotes around problem. What if it's not happening to you, but for you? What if it's actually an opportunity to take the next step in your evolution? Which of your muscles is this trying to develop? Because once you name the lesson, the problem starts to lose its power.
That's true. It does, because now it's not a problem in your mind. It's not a problem. It's something that's trying to teach you, and you have to use the methods that you mentioned, asking yourself those questions. What muscle and what part of me needs to be stretched to overcome this or to view this in a different way, and then that opens up almost limitless possibilities in how you can address this, because you're not giving the label power or problem, the label problem, and therefore the power or the energy that problems that follows a problem, such as despair, depression and all that stuff. So that is an amazing realization, very, very helpful reframing exercise, Michael. And I love how you mentioned, if you have subscribed to the truth and the fact of muscles growing from resistance in the gym, why can't you apply that mentally to that aspect of your life, right? And that is what grows or develops your mental strength or your mental toughness.
Right, your resilience.
Yeah, the resilience. And that is absolutely amazing. Another thing I kind of picked up on this, let me know if this is what you were referring to, but in asking those questions, what is serving me still? What's not serving me still? And asking yourself those questions, that can also kind of help you come to the realization or the conclusion of whether or not it's the end of a season and a start of a new season, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that tiny shift in perspective gives you agency, gives you ownership.
Yeah.
And perspective is a great thing. Think about it this way, for all the golfers out there. Yeah. Okay? You tee up that golf ball and you hit that thing perfectly flush and square. Your ball goes straight down the fairway 300 yards. Mm-hmm. If you hit that 2 degrees off, that ball's on the next fairway. Okay? Yeah. And that is what perception and perspective is like. Okay? If you just shift your perspective 1-2 degrees, you can see things in a completely different way.
Wow. Wow. Such a minute adjustment.
Yeah.
For a more broader view.
You know, it's giving yourself some grace. Yes. It's giving yourself the chance to step back from all this stress and pressure just mounting on top of you and saying, let me look at this as if it's someone else's issue, problem, and how would I break it down for them?
Yeah.
What would I tell them? because, right. you know, that gigantic wall in front of you that you can't overcome is actually just made up of a bunch of little bricks.
Yes.
Right? So yes. Let's just work on one brick today.
Yes.
You know, they say get 1% better every day.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't take that bag of bricks and put them, take them off and put them down for a second. Let yourself breathe.
Yeah. 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 You know, don't try to take the whole chunk or the whole wall, right? You know, it reminds me of a friend of mine who has been very successful at cutting weight over the past 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. They lost 70 pounds. And right. I was like, my gosh, man, you look wonderful. I mean, you look great. I mean, and that's one hell of a accomplishment, losing 70 pounds. They looked at me and smiled. And guess what they said, Michael? They said, Aubrey, I didn't lose 70 pounds. I lost a pound 70 times.
Nice. Yeah. I love that.
Me too, man. I said, oh my goodness. Can you repeat that for the people in the cheap seats? Because that bears worth repeating, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
And for numerous reasons. One, it was smaller things that they had to achieve. But because they looked at just losing a pound, they were able to develop the process to lose that pound, and it became repeatable.
Yes, it's attainable, it's repeatable, and guess what? Sustainable, just like your methods that you're sharing here with us. 100%. Absolutely sustainable, man.
1,000%.
So, Michael, how can the listeners connect with you, learn about the great work that you're doing, maybe pick up a little more information on some of the anecdotal methods that you've shared with us here in our conversation?
Absolutely. I'm going to get to that in 2 seconds.
Okay.
But I do want to leave everybody with something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're listening to us right now and you're carrying something heavy, I just want you to know that you're not alone in your struggle, because your pain can feel like a prison, but it can also be a portal. Mm. And just know that your past does not define you, but if you're brave enough to revisit it, it can refine you. And one of the biggest shifts I've made and now help others make is built on this core belief. And we've discussed it this whole time. Your pain is parked right next to your purpose. So take the journey, walk hand in hand with your younger self, give yourself the grace to honor your pain and the space to reconcile your past and the permission to build a belief system that serves the person you are now. Because that, in my humble opinion, is the road to rediscovery.
Mm.
And you don't want to walk it alone. But, you know, Aubrey, I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for having me on and for creating such a meaningful space for me and for your listeners to explore healing, growth, and rediscovery. And for anyone who's listening, who's been feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or quietly out of alignment, whether you're picking up the pieces after a setback or simply ready to reconnect with who you really are, I put something super special together just for you. And by the way, this is my gift. It's absolutely free. No sales pitch, no fluff, no BS. It's just two powerful tools that I use with my private clients to help them get unstuck and start moving forward with clarity and confidence. So first off, I'm giving you my Fear to Freedom formula. It's a simple, practical guide to help you break through self-doubt, overthinking, and hesitation so you can take action that actually feels good and grounded. And second, and I love this, I'm inviting you to your free Mastery Mindset Breakthrough Session, which is a 60-minute deep dive call where we will uncover the internal patterns holding you back, reframe the stories that no longer serve you, and create a strategy to move you forward with intention. And I'm making it super easy. To grab either or both gifts, just send me a DM on Instagram, and you can message me the word freedom to @michaelshaw.mindset. And I'm just going to spell it because some people misspell my name, michaelshaw.mindset. And so please take advantage of this opportunity. It comes straight from my heart. Just DM me the word freedom and I'll send both gifts your way completely free as my way of saying thank you for showing up today and being the kind of person who's actively seeking transformation. I promise you, together, we'll walk this road with clarity, courage, and purpose.
Wonderful. Fantastic. You heard it there, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, these are free gifts from the heart of Michael Shaw. We're going to have his Instagram handle as well as the word freedom in quotes to DM Michael on Instagram, the word freedom for these free gifts. I mean, the fear to freedom, plan right there. That is absolutely extraordinary. And of course, the 60 minute discovery for the mindset is absolutely, it's a true gift. It really is. And my goodness, we want to make sure that everyone sees this and has access to this. So all of this information will be in the episode show notes so they can click on these, get started on their rediscovery journey with you, learning new tools, new methods. And you know what? It could be a whole new lease on life and a whole new shift in perspective for them for years to come. Michael Shaw, one last question, sir. And this is just for the hearts and minds and ears of all the listeners out there, all the overachievers, all those who think that it's the weight of the world is on them and them alone to provide, to keep their families' heads above water, to have that money in that account, to drive that certain vehicle, to have that certain job, to own this certain business, okay? Please help us by filling in the blank when I ask you, actually not filling in the blank, but ask you this simple question. What defines us?
That's very simple. Our soul.
Thank you. Our soul. You heard it right here, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the bank account. It's not the vehicle. It's not the career. It's not the house. All right? No. It's our soul. And there's so much that's packed in that when we say our soul. And you can learn more about that by connecting with Michael. Michael Shaw, thank you so much for coming on, sir. I really, really appreciate the insights you've shared with the listeners. I hope you and I can stay in touch, in contact, so we can hopefully bring you on the show at a future date.
Aubrey, it would be my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And hey, look, just as Michael mentioned earlier, I concur. As you always know, you may feel like this at times, okay? But in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. And hope is always right around the corner. I sincerely, sincerely hope and request that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And you know, when it comes to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. But it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have. The Roads Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.